thanks to all of you for coming out this Saturday night in Salt Lake City. And thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a website, utahchristians.org, where there's a membership class. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Start with something funny. I heard about a lady. She was under surgery. She'd been told there wasn't a large chance that she would make it. She had an out-of-body experience, and she put the question up there to God, am I going to make it? She got an answer. Yeah, you're going to live for another 4 years. The surgery was successful, and she thought that as long as she was in the hospital, she might as well make the most of it, seeing as how she'd had 40 more years to live. So she had the complete extreme makeover, tummy tuck, liposuction, all kinds of cosmetic surgery. She was released from the hospital about 2 weeks later, and while crossing the street to the parking garage, she got run over by a truck. So she appeared before God. She said, I thought you told me I had 40 more years to live. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. Talk today is living for approval. You see the connection, of course. Too many of ourselves allow us to be controlled and manipulated by others. And here tonight to tell you that those are not your true friends whose approval is only based on meeting their needs and making them happy. We want to give you the freedom tonight of knowing that you don't have to meet other people's needs. You don't need other people's approval when you have God Almighty's approval. If you have that kind of freedom, you'll not let people put you into a box and make you into something that you're not. How many people, ask yourself, miss their dreams because they worry that they're not getting the approval of their friends, their family, their co-workers? They want everybody to give them the seal of approval before they pursue their God-given dreams. And they're afraid that if they don't get it, they won't be successful in their quest. I think it was Lord Snowden who said, who seeks to please all men each way and not himself offend, he may begin his work today, but God knows when he'll end. Let's decide this evening, I'm not going to be a people pleaser, I'm going to be a God pleaser. My encouragement is not to spend your whole life trying to keep everyone around you happy. For those demanding friends, those demanding relatives, we need to be secure enough to say, I love you, I care about you, but I'm not going to let you control my life. Well, true, if I do this, they may not be happy. If I step out in faith and pursue a God-given dream, they may not be happy. Well, maybe it's time for them not to be happy and for you to be happy. Maybe it's time for you to take charge of your own life. If you're being manipulated, it's not other people's fault. It's your fault for allowing other people to manipulate you. You ultimately control your own destiny. You can be nice, you can be respectful, but sometimes you just have to put your foot down. It is said to fulfill your destiny, be true to your heart. We were in Los Angeles and we had the dream to take over a radio station with 5 acres of land in Utah, and person in charge down there in Los Angeles, Ramachar Swami, did not like the idea at all. He was from New York. True. Utah's small time. Los Angeles is big time. You gotta stay here. He did everything that he could to try and make us feel bad about stepping into faith. Over and over again, we heard, True, you're making a big mistake. True, I don't think you know what you're doing. Let's not let the pressures that other people put us into squeeze us into their mold. They want you to do it their way, not because they have your best interests at heart, but because they get a charge out of their controlling your lives. If they were actually mature, instead of impeding you or discouraging you, they'd recognize that we're all in this together, that your success is my success, and they would say, Chiru, even if you don't do it my way, I'll support you. I'm your friend, and I want you to succeed. And life is too short to keep everyone happy, You can't please everyone. Everyone is not going to give you their approval. Many, many people, they're going to put as many obstacles in your way as they possibly can, but others don't write the plan for your life. Others are not sitting on the throne. We need to press forward with what God has put into our own hearts. Whatever other people may say about you, or however they may withhold their approval, we're asserting today that God approved you from the very time that He created you. The supervisor at work, he may be implacable, impossible to police. There may be a relative who walks into the room and has a good word to say about everybody else except you. Don't let them steal your joy. Don't let them dissipate your energy, which you could be spending on pursuing your God-given dreams. And above all, don't try to buy with your time and with your energy and with your fawning other people's approval. If you start like that, a precedent will have been set. You'll have to do all the work in the relationships. You'll have to take all the initiative. You'll have to carry all the conversations. And as soon as you stop pleasing them, they will dump you like a hot potato anyway. Pay attention to the spirit inside. It's good to be open. It's good to listen to friends and parents, mentors, coaches. But ultimately, we have to follow our own hearts. Be careful of people who have a word for you from the Lord. That's all right, but you should confirm what they say on the outside with what you know to be true on the inside. Krishna will not tell someone something else that he'll not also tell you. You also have a conduit. You can hear from God Himself. God will not give someone else more direction for your life than He will give you. It's not to say you shouldn't research, you shouldn't read books, you shouldn't solicit advice, but the bottom line is that God is going to speak to you. Sometimes, in order to please Krishna, there will come a time, call it a test if you like, when to please Krishna will have to displease other people. Now, Krishna foresees that. He gives His assurances there in the Bhagavad Gita that if anyone gives up family, friends, for My sake, they will be repaid many, many times over. Sarva dharman parityagya mam ekam saranam vraja aham tam sarva papibhyo mokshesi ma suchaha. You notice all the ahams and the mas, all the first person singulars here. This is Krishna speaking to Arjuna, and He doesn't want to leave any room for doubt. He's giving His personal guarantee that if you give up money or relatives or friends or status or career, for His sake, His personal guarantee is that He will repay you many, many, many times over. And that might be hard initially because we all want people to like us. That's natural. And it's also comfortable. It's easy to stay in the boat, to solicit everybody's approval. But at some point in the pursuit of your God-conscious destiny, Krishna is going to ask you to get out of the boat. And when that happens, someone, maybe a long-term friend, maybe a relative, will give you an ultimatum. Stay here in the boat and we'll support you, we'll approve you. Leave and we cut you off. You're on your own. Don't let the fear of people withholding their approval hold you back. They leave you, it means that you didn't need them. What Krishna put in your heart, sometimes even well-meaning people will not understand. Be strong, be firm, don't be disrespectful. But recognize that you'll not become everything that Krishna created you to be with the approval of everyone around you. Someone will get jealous. Someone won't understand. Someone will start talking about you. Someone will belittle you, and someone will discredit you. My father, his older brother and older sister went to college, and their children all graduated from Ivy League schools. But when Dad reached college age, World War II happened. He went into the service, and then after the service, he had to immediately go to work. So it was Dad's fondest dream to follow his brother and sisters and get a college education. And if he couldn't get a college education, he transposed that dream onto me. He wanted me to bring credit to the House of Warden. He wanted me to be a college graduate, and if the truth be known, he wanted me to be an Ivy League college graduate. So when I got a full scholarship to the most expensive prep school in the country, The first thing my father did was put a big sticker on the back window of his station wagon, "My son goes to Lawrenceville." And every time on the Pennsylvania Turnpike that someone honked or someone gave him a thumbs up, you bet that he told me about it, what they looked like, what kind of a car they were driving. I was reminded constantly what his dream was for my life. Unfortunately, I did not satisfy my father's dream. I didn't go to an Ivy League college. I went to the University of Virginia, and then only for 2 years. And as far as I know, my father never put a sticker on the back of his car, "My son is a Hare Krishna." If you find yourself in a similar type of situation, you need to be strong enough to say, "Dad, I love you, but I'm not here to fulfill your destiny. I'm here to fulfill my destiny, and I don't need your approval for that." Interestingly enough, in spite of, or perhaps partially because, I didn't fulfill his dream, he became the oldest person ever to go back to the University of Pittsburgh and get his bachelor's degree at the age of 72. So it all worked out just fine. What do we learn from this? If you're secure in your destiny, even when people don't celebrate you, even when people ignore you, even when people withhold approval, you've still got a smile on your face. You keep moving forward, being your best, knowing that the creator of the universe will break down every barrier. Have a good attitude. Shake off negative voices, naysayers. The more they talk and try to bring you down, the higher Krishna will take you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant as a renunciate. He didn't own a single possession, traveled by foot the length and breadth of India, chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People would deride him. Small children would chant, Hare Krishna." Lord Chaitanya would hold his hands over his ears just so they would chant louder, demonstrating this principle that the more they deride you, the more Krishna will elevate you, the more Krishna will celebrate you. You don't need to curry favor with important people. Just be excellent, be good to people. Krishna will be pleased, he'll fight your battles, and he'll bring you the right connections. 500 years ago, there were Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They ran the entire province of what is now known as Bengal. In those days, it was called Magadha. It was the richest state in India. India was indisputably the richest country in the world. After all, Marco Polo went to India, and when he wrote about the opulence of India, it amazed the Europeans. Christopher Columbus was so much predicated on getting to India that when he bumped into land, he called the local people Indians. So India was the richest country in the world, and the richest province in India was Magadha or Bengal. These two brothers were running the whole country for the Muslim magistrate. Muslim magistrate spent all of his time out hunting, engaged in recreation. He deposed the entire management of the kingdom on these two brothers. They had the approval of everybody. They had the approval of the number one most important, most influential person, to the point that he didn't even ask. He didn't even demand an accounting of what was going on. He just invested it all in them. When they approached him and said, "We want to retire, we want to give up our positions and follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu," he was adamantly against it. He said, "If you do this, not only will you incur my disapproval and the disapproval of everyone in the kingdom who you're so nicely managing, but I will put you in jail and I may even execute you." In spite of that pressure, in spite of that criticism, in spite of the wealthy, influential person who had previously totally approved them, now totally disapproving them and branding them and criminalizing them, they took shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you are in the marketplace and you happen upon a merchant who's selling the most valuable pearl in the world, you won't quibble with him about the price. You will go home and you will pawn you will sell, you will liquidify all of your assets, and you'll bring it and just throw it at the feet of that merchant in order to have that pearl of great price. Rupa and Sanatan literally gave up a fortune unimaginable in this day and age in order to get the greatest pearl, Namo Mahabhananaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, love of God, which was being freely given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami escaped, and he went and found Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having given up a boatload of gold coins. Sanatan Goswami traveled many nights to the jungle, and he arrived in the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having given up everything, but he kept one nice coat, because it was cold in the jungle at night. So he thought he was entitled to just keep one nice coat. He'd given up literally tens of millions of dollars, but he kept one nice coat. Lord Chaitanya, when he saw him, he smiled, he expressed gratitude and joy that Sanatan Goswami had come to him. But Sanatan Goswami could tell that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's joy wasn't exactly 100%. And he thought, what could it be that's taking the edge off Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's joy? And then he looked at the coat he was wearing. He said, this coat may be a little opulent for my present career of a renunciate. And so he went and he found a beggar, and he offered the man to trade coats. Sanatan Goswami put on this old ratty coat. He reappeared in the associate of Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's smile was from ear to ear, and he embraced Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was astute enough not to let one single lingering attachment keep him from his destiny. As a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Vrindavan. They turned what had previously been a jungle full of dacoits, rogues, and thieves into a beautiful place of pilgrimage with many, many temples. He and his brother Rupa Goswami wrote hundreds and hundreds of books, which we read even to this day, and they established magnificent multi-million dollar temples there in Vrindavan. What we learn is, if you give up the approval and the benefits of society in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna takes you and adopts you as his own. He will fight your battles. He will send blessings. He will send favors your way that baffle the imagination. So make a change. If your life isn't everything that you'd like it to be right now, look within to discover the dream which Krishna has embedded in your heart. Recognize that your destiny is too great to waste time fighting battles, seeking the approval of people who don't matter. If someone doesn't celebrate you, move on. If they walked away, you didn't need them. If they didn't give you their approval, don't worry about it. You have the approval of Almighty God. Take the pressure off of yourself. Let's enjoy this freedom, knowing that at life's end, we do not stand before people, we stand before God. Playing up to people takes a lot of energy. Trying to keep everyone around you happy and fixed is very draining. Wondering what everybody's thinking about you is emotionally exhausting. There's a great freedom when you realize I don't have to compete for anybody's approval. I can run my race, focus on my goals, and God will take care of the rest. Know this, that those who are the loudest, those who take the most of your time and your energy, those are going to be the first ones to desert you. People who criticize other people to you behind their backs, count on the fact that they're criticizing you when you're not present. You're better off not playing up to them now. You're better off saving time and energy for people you know are behind you through thick and thin, for loyal, faithful people. As many of you know, my wife, Vai Bobby, and I, we don't always see eye to eye. We approach situations differently. We treat people differently, but underneath it all, we will wholeheartedly approve of each other till the day we die. Whatever differences there may be, we're still moving forward, we're still planning, we're still excited about the future, we're still trying together to take new ground for the kingdom, still happy that we tied the knot 46 years ago. Krishna has also placed in your lives those who will encourage you to be what you should be. He's placed in your lives those who celebrate you to follow your God-given destiny. Now don't waste time trying for the approval of someone who's never going to give you their approval. To all you approval addicts out there, we're declaring a new day. Today, strangleholds are being broken. From today, you're going to be strong and run your race. You're going to stay focused and not let others control you. From today, I declare you're going to step into a new level of destiny. You're going to see a new season of growth. You're going to make new friendships. You're going to have new opportunities. From today, Krishna's going to take you to places you've never even dreamed of in this life. And in the next life, he's going to take you back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.